Hello, everyone. Dave Burke here, the Dave Burke Podcast, the very first episode. It is August 7th, 2019. Football season's here. What better way to kick off our new podcast with a couple special guests talking college football? And we're going to go back and talk to a young man who I've known since his high school days before he was anything of a prospect, Malik Zaire, the former Notre Dame University of Florida quarterback, who got some big news a couple weeks ago about what he's going to be doing on Saturdays this year. And we're also going to talk to Brian Foose, the head coach of Madonna University. Not heard of Madonna University? You will in the coming years, as the NAIA program is going to start playing football and Coach Foose is their first head coach. He's no stranger to building a program, having been at two other programs that went from scratch that have become very competitive programs over the last several years. So stay tuned for all that. Plus, we've got some breaking news at the very beginning, right after this word from First Star Logistics.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team. Opportunity knocking.
Breaking news at the University of Cincinnati. Big news for the University of Cincinnati is former Huber Heights, Ohio Wayne wide receiver and Ohio State Buckeye, the Christian Blue Smith, was granted his immediate eligibility to play this season. Blue Smith, one of the top prospects in the country during his prep career, originally signed with the Buckeyes but left the program after sitting out last season. Smith, who was a two-sport standout at Wayne, will have 4 years of eligibility remaining and should give the Bearcats offense a big target with a 6'5", 210-pound frame. You're back here on the Dave Burke Podcast, and I want to thank again First Star Logistics. They've done a lot for us getting First Star Football Report up and running, and we can't thank them enough for what they do. It's going to be an interesting first podcast. Very excited. As I said in the opening, we've got two guests, Malik Zaire and Brian Foose, kind of give you some college football, looking back at a young man who had the ups and downs of what really goes on in the life of a college football player and who rose above it when many probably would have looked to transfer in this world of the transfer portal and so forth. And he made sure he got his degree before he left and looked for an opportunity, but still talks very highly about his time at Notre Dame. And something we'll talk with Malik about as well is the kind of get his thoughts, not so much on the top two or the top 10, but two teams to watch. And it's kind of interesting, the two teams he picked to talk about towards the end of his segment. But I want to talk, you know, a little bit opening here, just a little quickly, top 10. Yeah, I sit there and, you know, you get your copy of Street and Smith's College Football or Lindy Sports College Football Preview and the college coaches, and you see kind of the same teams: Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Michigan, Florida, Ohio State, LSU, Notre Dame, Oregon. Some have Texas as far as in their top 10. But you sit there and you go, you know, it's still Clemson the beat and Alabama right there. And who's going to make that move? And, you know, when we start getting in the top 10s, some may question it. And the team that I think everyone has to look, especially those in the Midwest, is, you know, Lindy's has Michigan at number 5, while Street and Smith doesn't even have Michigan listed in their top 10. But you get into, you know, will the Wolverines, can Jim Harbaugh finally get over this hump of 1, against Ohio State, and 2, you know, can he put a product on the field that doesn't fall apart towards the end of the season and win some of those big games? So it's going to be interesting to watch how the preseason rankings, when we talk of the top 10, how they play out early in the season, because there's some really great matchups that's going to happen early in the college football season. So I'm sure we'll be talking more about the college football, but we want to get to our special guest. The first one we're going to talk to is Malik Zaire, and I can't say enough how excited I am for this young man and all the things that he's done since I had a chance to get to know him during his sophomore in high school. So this was our conversation. We had to kind of do it in two segments because of the fact that he got interrupted during our conversation for work with CBS. So we hope you enjoy getting to know maybe a little bit more about Malik Zaire. We are here on the Dave Burke Podcast, and I am so excited that the very first guest we're going to have on our new podcast is the one, the only, Malik Zaire, former Kettering Alter, former Notre Dame quarterback, now a CBS Sports football analyst at the college level. Malik, I appreciate you taking the time, my friend. It's been a long time, a long road. We've known each other so long now. It's time's passing by and we're getting older.
Oh, man, thanks so much for having me, man. It's, like you said, it's been a crazy ride. We've been knowing each other probably longer than any other relationship I've had with a media member at that juncture. So it's good to see us both climbing and doing our thing, and we are getting older, but it's getting better, too.
Well, I want to start with this, you know, conversation, basically talking about, first off, let's go back to, you know, high school. You were the Division III Associated Press Southwest Ohio District Offensive Player of the Year as a senior. You signed with Notre Dame in the class of 2013, four-star recruit. I thought you should have been a five, but my opinion didn't matter. You graduated from Notre Dame in May of 2017, spent the 2017 season at the University of Florida. But I want to go back to when you were a young kid before, you know, football really meant anything other than going out and having fun. Talk about your youth first. Let's talk about playing football prior to high school when, you know, star rankings and, you know, getting to the Elite 11 or the Nike camp or whatever it had no meaning to you. You know, talk about your days as a player playing the game as a youth.
Before any of this stuff really transpired, playing for my neighborhood league back at home, the Trotwood Wee Rams, and it was more like a backyard start for me. So, you know, playing different games in just the park with tackling and just having fun with my friends at football practice growing up. And I think what really got me really going and competitive was that we were a really good team. We won the Super Bowl every year for our little league, and we had a lot of nice players on the team. And at that time, I played a tight end, a side linebacker, and I was pretty good. Came to like my second, first grade experience where nobody on the team can run but me, and I was left-handed. So, you know, it was just different. And ever since then, I stuck with it, and and it's been crazy. I just think that I kind of found what I wanted to do early on, and I fell in love with throwing the football because, you know, it was different. Nobody was really doing it. And at the time growing up, Mike Vick was like the sensation of football. And that right off the bat inspired me to chase that kind of path and continue my growth as a quarterback. So my dad was my coach growing up, which was good because, you know, I think he did it the right way. He wasn't super hard on me, but he just, it was a motivating factor to want to do good for him while he was my coach, you know what I mean? So I invested a lot more of my time and focus into it. And it kind of grew from there, getting closer to like middle school football and getting closer to more serious of that nature. My dad noticed that I was pretty solid, but he wanted to put me in a position where, you know, college and an opportunity to play for like a powerhouse school outside of the school down the street, which was Trotwood Madison, which ended up being pretty good, but he wanted me in a total experience of more than just sports. So he got involved over there at Alter being an assistant coach for Dom Sites while I was in like sixth, seventh grade. And obviously that helped my relationship with the older guys like Austin Boucher, who's left-handed quarterback that was winning state at the time with Chris Borland and the gang out there. And so I was the ball boy during my sixth, seventh, eighth grade years, and I ended up playing theater. So my dad really got me into kind of the groove of a of an altar system, you know, coming from Trotwood. He didn't want me to come in unfamiliar, and I think he did a great job of kind of setting that up and being having a good relationship with Coach Downside, still allowing me to ball boy through the years where altar was like a powerhouse and everything. So then I started playing theater for him and getting close with the guys on the team. I didn't go to the theater school they did, but I went to special, you know, football and basketball play. And that's how I kind of grew up with those guys. First quarterback competition, it was me versus like five other people in the 7 day grade thing. And I ended up winning that and playing pretty good, man. And took that on in the high school. My dad ended up moving to Arizona, but I was already solidified in the way at Alta where, you know, I could do it on my own. So I started really being an understudy of Austin Boucher. He got me into falling in love with the quarterback position, you know what I mean? So he had me reading books, you know, we was all invested in the training and the mental aspect of it, and he was a great leader. So, you know, Austin Boucher, I credit a lot to my motivation and doing well and continuing that process because, you know, he really put me on game at an early age of what it takes. You know, Austin's crazy. He always, he was Tom Brady before Tom Brady with the whole method and that whole thing. But that got me falling in love with him, and then seeing results of him getting college scholarships and winning state was a very motivating factor for me, and because my dad, a lot of credit to him for putting me in that position. So from there, freshman year, you know, nobody could play varsity football at the time. You know, we were pretty stacked at the time too. But you know, Diamond Hall was it would be me and Diamond Hall at Alta. It would have been a dangerous combination, like Pat White and Mike Slayton. And he had offers everywhere at the time. So Diamond was the man, and you know, we're a running team anyway, so that would have been a great combination. And so I played freshman ball, and it was obviously a good experience with the guys. We won. And watching like Chris Boylan go through it, being a Big Ten freshman of the year and an all-state player and making crazy highlights on YouTube before that even became a big thing, when he jumped over the whole Kettering line and made a tackle on the goal line. That was just, you know, that was just ultra football. It was encompassing and a great place to be for a kid wanting to continue that. So, ball boy, and then end up being close to Coach Downside, going through it and getting an opportunity to try to play my sophomore year. But they had Zane Pitzer there. He had just came off winning state, and you know that. So that was like kind of like I was waiting my time. Played sparingly through the season. I felt like I could have played more, but you know, we were solid, and I got a couple chances to play throughout the season. Like we played Centerville with that my sophomore year, which was like a game that everybody's been waiting for like 60 years. So I got a chance to experience that with guys on the field like Afadi Odemegbo that played for Centerville, and Michael Bennett, who played at Ohio State and played in the league. And, you know, they had a lot of guys, and being in that environment kind of showed me I can hang out and play with those guys too at a young age. So sophomore year, I got super invested into just my craft, man. I wanted to be the best player in the class. So I was, you know, headstrong on that, and I had a good supporting cast, a friend that was out there sticking it with me through those hot times, and Kettering still used to hop the fence and stuff. I shouldn't have done that, but, you know, we had to find a way to make it work. And
I remember those days. I remember trying to jump the fence my old age down at Roush Field when you guys were there throwing. And I think I still have the video interview I did with the wind blowing and everything on that spring day. But that was the way. I mean, we got to know each other after that sophomore year, because basically you were trying to get into the Nike Elite 11 and you weren't having any success. And I remember you reaching out to me, and I made a couple phone calls and begging people, say, hey, this kid, you need to get him in. And finally they got you in. And it was one of those things where I remember, even I was like, I didn't even see you. There were so many guys there that year, that I even called you afterwards and said, where were you at? You didn't, I made these phone calls and you didn't. And you go, Mr. Burke, I was there. But that, talk about, I mean, you know, you talk about the days at Alder. And I want to, before we go, you know, what we were just talking about, I want to go back. You talk about Ed Domsites, who's considered old school football coach. I mean, he is set in his ways and he's been very successful. And you talk about that relationship. What did that relationship teach you? Because some people on the outside felt maybe Coach Domsite held you back from showing your true talents, but you never complained about it.
Yeah. You know, I just think how I grew up, I always really believed in putting in and earning what you get out of it. So I knew at some point I had to play because I felt myself getting at a level where I knew I was good enough to play. And at the end of the day, man, I learned at an early age going through that sophomore year experience of just things that you can't control. Even if you feel like you could be a helpful in that position, you know what I mean? And, you know, just understanding Domsite's traditional ways itself, it was more of like a discipline for me, which honestly really helped me get through Notre Dame and going through that situation because there's no real instruction manual on how to handle stuff like that, but being patient and, you know, putting the grind towards your craft, I think stood apparent to me, and that's why I was so heavily chasing that Elite 11 because, you know, if I wasn't getting an opportunity on my high school team, man, and it was something I couldn't control, I knew I could at least control my destiny in Elite 11. So it became everything important to me to become the number one in the class and the number one in Elite 11 because, you know, I felt like I could have been more valuable for my team at that time. You know, so the Domsites was a really good coach for me from that discipline standpoint. I mean, I feel like, you know, he's probably yelled at me more than anybody, but but you know, we had great success from it. I mean, it was a lot of rough days with us, but like I said, that experience, I think if I didn't get that experience at Alder with Domsites, I probably would have handled the Notre Dame experience a lot differently. But you know, you can realize and going through stuff like that, you know, it's all great, you know, as long as you win. And I mean, we were very fortunate. My first year starting after that year, we lost. I mean, we went 10-0 in the regular season. So a lot of that was like, all right, I got a lot to prove, you know, for me feeling like how I did. And also, I felt like I was the best quarterback in the country at that time, too. So that stage is just like a good build-up moment for me in my career. And a lot happened that year, too, you know, going to camps and doing Elite 11 and remembering going to the National Underclassmen Combine. And that was big back in the day before Elite 11. And I remember Kyle Bowlen, who ended up playing at Kentucky and doing some good things in his career. He was like the number one player in the class at the time. I had offers from LSU and all this stuff. So that was like my arch nemesis going through high school. But that just shows like how competitive I was. Like even with Zane and going through the thing I did at Alder and trying to wait my turn or whatever you may call it. That competitiveness obviously drove me in a positive way to know that, you know, when you work on yourself, everything else comes after that. And it proved to be evident after we went that 10-0 season, my junior year in the regular season, and then the success I had from going to these camps. Like my first offer was UC camp. My sophomore going into junior year, it was a 1 day. That's when 1 day camps were huge. And at the time, Cincinnati was everybody's first offer. So I knew getting the offer from there was going to get the ball rolling. And I had a really good day at that camp. And it took off from there. So that was my first offer going in. I didn't even start a game yet. So I knew there was something there that I had that, you know, I thought I could do more with. So that same summer, I ended up getting the Ohio State offer and then the Wisconsin offer my junior year. And then it was like, okay, well, you know, I guess all that paid off. You know what I mean? And I think going through that experience with Domsite, just the way the program is set up, and a lot of discipline is involved because not everybody can make it, you know what I mean? And that obviously got me in a position to be ready when my opportunity came, and that's kind of how I've been ever since. So,
And you, Malik, I want to A lot of people don't know this. You had a lot of outside pressure to leave Alder before your senior year. Because I remember talking to you, and it was kind of like, you know, you had pressure from the outside where people wanted you to go back to Trotwood. As you talked about, the Rams were having success with, you know, the players that they had there, a lot of talent there. But you chose to stay at Alder. And you know, why was it important for you to stay, and what did that teach you? You talk about how Alder prepared you for Notre Dame and the competition that happens at the college level. So why was it so important for you to stay at Kettering Alder and finish what you started?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, travel was an option of thinking about my senior year, just because, you know, it's just right down the street and it was all my friends. But, you know, I just personally felt like not quitting where I started, and that even translated to the Notre Dame process was, you know, I individually thought that I had a lot to show the program, and that what I put in with those guys around me, I wanted people to see that, because I felt like we had a chemistry that was, you know, the best offense in the state. So, and we were doing so many different things. I mean, we were going triple option to spread to high formation to everything you can imagine, which I enjoyed the most about it going off to, because, you know, we started with triple option and it blossomed into something that we all was on the same page with. So just being a veteran and an experience where, you know, I wanted to prove so much and do a lot with those guys around me, meant a lot for me to stay. And I felt like we could have won a state championship as well. So continuing that tradition of seeing everybody win state championships growing up through the program, I wanted to have a chance to do it myself after being there for so long.
You're listening to the Dave Burke Podcast with our special guest, Malik Zaire, former quarterback, Kettering Alder High School, Notre Dame, University of Florida, and now starting a job with CBS Sports as a college football analyst. And Malik, you know, we talked about your youth. We talked about high school. Let's talk about college, Notre Dame. And you look back at the recruiting process. What do you remember most about it?
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's just a really good experience for a kid to have the opportunity to have a lot of options as it turns out. You know, when you work hard, it's good to see the result of that. So having those colleges and those options and places to go was a very humbling experience. But, you know, going through it as well was something that you wanted. You knew that was the next step to take it, another challenge. And got a lot of good opportunities, and Notre Dame came along, and, you know, I just thought that was just the perfect setup for me. It was better than Notre Dame quarterback. It not only is a different choice for the type of quarterback that I am and how I look, and, you know, coming from a Catholic high school, I just thought that was a perfect marriage. So getting an opportunity to even play at Notre Dame was just a testament to the discipline it took to get through Alder and continue to be great, you know.
And you talked about Ohio State, and they worked very hard. I mean, I remember us having a conversation after you committed to Notre Dame. They worked very hard to get you on campus and try to get in the way and try to get you to become a Buckeye. Talk about when you look back at that, you know, what was going through your head at that time?
So fortunately enough, honestly, before the Notre Dame offer came, I was going to commit to Ohio State with Tressel and Braxton Miller being there. He went to Wayne not too far, and I remember going to high school games. And, you know, I had an early relationship with him. And on top of that, I was the only quarterback offered in the class at the time when Tressel was there. And then obviously everything had happened the year he ended up leaving, and Urban had came in. And then it was six quarterbacks offered at that time. So, like, right when he came in, it was just – I just didn't like that. And I went on a visit with I'll never forget Cam Burrows and Mike McCray, who were both went to Trotwood, and Cam was, like, a five-star. He was Ohio State's first commit. And, you know, just watching how Urban handled all three of us at the same time, you know, I just gave myself a chance to look at different options. But once I committed to Notre Dame, man, I knew that's where I wanted to go, and I was solid on my commitment there.
Again, we are joined by Malik Zaire, former quarterback, Kettering Alder High School in Ohio, Notre Dame, Florida. Malik, we go back. We've talked about it early in the podcast. One of the questions I had was, over the years, a lot has been said about Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly, and I've known Coach Kelly since he was at the University of Cincinnati. Talk about what it's like to play for Coach Kelly.
Oh, man. Coach Kelly, man, to give him credit, he's very good at putting teams in place to be competitive for national championships, you know, whether it's at Grand Valley State, UC, and even at Notre Dame. He's been able to put together teams that can always be considered in contention, and that's something that's hard to do. I mean, he's brought in great coaches like Matt LaFleur was our quarterback coach, and now he's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. So it's just a testament to, Coach Kelly being such a great recruiter and a businessman. Playing for him, under him, you know, it's a intense relationship. I personally feel like I was his favorite because he yelled at me the most. So, I mean, I feel like that, made me better. But, you know, I saw it as a good opportunity to try to work on discipline, man, and my own craft. And I feel like, you know, the opportunities that I were allowed to be out there and help the team, I felt like I made some good contributions. So, we obviously could have been in a different space if I was to be able to do more, at least a little more than what I was able to. But, that goes back to things you can't control in college, and your attitude and the effort matter a lot, you know. And at the end of the day, nobody can limit how you grow but yourself. So taking an introspective looking at it and seeing leadership from different angles and being able to rally a team on and off the field, I think it just made me better as a person and as a leader and somebody that can adapt and adjust to adversity.
I got a two-part question here. And you know, basically, greatest memory at Notre Dame and then your greatest low at Notre Dame.
Oh, man, greatest memory at Notre Dame was probably the lunch ladies. For training table, actually, that was one of my favorite experiences at Notre Dame, where the ladies and the service people that helped us, just the travel to the food to just everything in between. Because, you know, we kind of bougie at Notre Dame. We do things real nice. And I know it takes a lot to get that done. And, those guys really have a lot of great relationships with and a lot of funny memories. So. I know that's probably different than what you guys were expecting, but that's something that needs more credit anyway.
And the greatest low at Notre Dame, the thing that stands out that, you know, you wish never happened. What was the lowest point ever during your Notre Dame career?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know. You got to put a positive spin on things, you know. It's a good question, man. obviously, we could talk about the obvious thing, getting injured and figuring out how to handle that as well as, you know, bouncing back. I remember Coach Ty Light told me that, you know, in the NFL, they don't even – consider you a veteran until you come back from injury, you know what I mean? And, I always saw myself as a veteran guy and learning those different adversity lessons, you know, I mean, second game of the season, that's pretty early and what I thought we could have had rolling and, that along with just having to be out the whole year definitely slows progress for things that could have happened. So, it was a different perspective on the game of football for me, but it put me in a light of enlightenment in a sense. You know, you get to see the highest of the highs when you're doing well and winning and, you know, feeling good in the position to, you know, it can all be going so fast. So that dramatic shift definitely impacted me for the better long run.
One thing when I talk to guys, you know, over the years, when I was doing interviews with scout.com, And I'm sure you remember, I always stress, earn that degree, get that degree. If you do nothing else, get that degree. What was it like for you to get that degree from Notre Dame?
Oh, man, of course it's an accomplishment because Notre Dame, like you know, is not meant for everybody. But, you know, you got to go through a lot. You got to work hard to earn that degree. I was fortunate to get it done at an earlier than 4-year time span. So I felt proud of my fortitude through all of that to not let the things on the field affect, you know, my growth off the field and earning those stripes, I guess.
When you start looking back at the journey you had, what would you tell young players, you know, today looking to play at the game at the college level? What would be your advice to them?
My thing is you got to find a way to love the game. You know, be a student of the game. I think that's the only way you can really get the most out of your experience playing football because so many things that happen to you that you may or may not control can affect your love for something, you know. When you're a student of the game and you focus on your craft and honestly being the best teammate and player you can be, it's a really freeing experience. Too many people go in with these imaginary chips on their shoulders, but that's just unnecessary pressure, man. I think the best way to look at playing a game of football is from an art perspective, and that, you know, what I've learned is it's really not about being the best. It's about, you know, how you are able to continue to fight and consistently. I mean, it's crazy because I personal friends with Damon Giuseppe, the receiver for the Browns, that literally I remember him working with me, and he hadn't played football for like 6 years, you know, but he was always willing to catch with me whenever I needed to when I went out to Arizona, which was every break. And he stayed consistent on working out, he maybe not want to work out, you know, as much as he stayed consistent, and the universe blessed him with an opportunity to be in a spot where he ran a 40 for some Brown scout, and now he's on the Browns roster. And I'm like, Mr. Notre Dame, I do Florida, I did all this stuff to try to get there. And the guy that, you know, just stayed consistent with no end in sight ended up being signed on the professional team before me. So it's like, that's probably one of the crazy experiences I've learned having this football journey, which is eye-opening. So, yeah, consistency is everything to those guys. And finding a love for the game where you can just be a student, man, and everything really takes care of itself.
We've been talking with Malik Zaire. And, you know, Malik, you know you're one of my favorites. And you know that's honestly from me because we've stayed in contact over the years. So this is not like we're just getting back and talking after, you know, 6 or 7 years. So a couple weeks ago, news broke that you're going to be joining CBS Sports Network as a national college football analyst. I'm not surprised by this because you were always great in front of the camera. I never worried about you in front of the camera. As you know, everybody else I'd had to, you know, kind of, you know, position and say, hey, do this, don't move your feet, don't rock on me. I never had to worry about you. You were always very comfortable. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
You're going to be one of the youngest people to ever do this. Talk about how this all came to be and what drove you to go in this direction.
Oh, man, I just think when you're a good person, you know what I mean, and you look at things in a positive perspective, eventually things kind of work out for you, you know what I mean, and I don't think I ever let circumstances put me in a position where I wasn't who I knew I could be, you know, and and continuing to be looked out for, you know what I mean? I got a call from Overtime, who I had no idea about in the beginning, and they gave me an opportunity to be myself, essentially, around athletes that are, like, the top in the country and best in their sports. And, you know, I really found a call into it, so it's a lot of testament to them because, you know, I really wouldn't have gotten that chance without them. So, and doing that, I guess, you know, when you love something and you feel good in the space where you can really get to know people and call some eyes of some people I didn't even know, you know what I mean? And I got an opportunity to call some games for CBS. Like, how crazy is that? So I'm super excited about it because I feel like I can add a little perspective to it and make it entertaining from what I'm doing now to like my love for the game. So I think it's just a perfect match.
Well, one last thing we're going to do. We're going to put your new college football analyst to work. So we got to do this. So, because one of the things I'm going to be talking about later in the podcast is I'm sitting here looking at the top 10. And, you know, and I'm seeing the usuals, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, somehow Michigan's in the top five in some of these. You have Florida, Ohio State, LSU, Notre Dame, and Oregon, Texas. I'm not asking give me your top 10, but, you know, outside of Clemson and Alabama, because they've been, you know, the staples at the top the last few years. What's the two teams that, you know, you're really watching, you think really can compete to be those two other teams in the college football playoff Final Four?
Well, I think it would be wrong for me not to talk about Notre Dame. So I'm going to start with them first. I think the determining factor of Notre Dame's season to really break into that college football, that presence of being competitive with Clemson and Bama, is Ian Book. And, you know, Ian has been in a great position of not having to lose games, and I'm really excited to see him be in a position to win games. What's going to tell a lot about this season early is that game against down in Georgia. You know, we haven't had great success at top away games like we have wanted to. But this gives Ian a perfect opportunity to go down there and solidify himself as, you know, one of the great Notre Dame quarterbacks of, you know, pushing that run to the playoffs, because that really, in my opinion, determines our season in that game, due to the fact that I know that we have enough talent and Coach Kelly's done a great enough job of putting the pieces in place to be competitive with everybody that we play with. So, yeah, Ian, it's really coming down to Ian's performance and his next steps, and I'm excited to see, you know, how he handles that. Then the next team would be Georgia, to be honest with you. If you're talking from a recruitment standpoint, Georgia has been killing it these last 3 or 4 years and only getting better and outranking even Bama at times in top recruiting classes. So there's another opportunity for Jake Brown to establish himself as a all-time great Georgia quarterback and being able to, you know, play the early game against Notre Dame, where he has another opportunity to know to make a case why he should be projected how he is coming into the next season. So, you know, it really becomes, that's the game of the college football. In my opinion, the college football playoffs is weak for it at Georgia, but either quarterback that comes out on top, I think, gives them that boost to go into the playoff contention. I mean, Georgia's going to be probably one of the most talented teams around college football this year. I mean, Kirby Smart has really urged his way to college football dominance in such a short year. So I don't really see him falling off too much, and they seem to be having a good time in Georgia. And, you know, obviously, you know, you got your Ohio States and your Michigan that, you know, it's coming down to them not blowing a game, really. I mean, you know, Ohio State is always going to be in contention. They just can't lose those games that they should win. And Michigan's just got to show out. You know what I mean? I feel like they get put in the top 10 a lot of expectations because they do have a on-paper talented roster and potential like quarterback. But, you know, to beat Ohio State, I think that's the first step for them if they want to be able to, you know, put themselves in contention for the college football playoffs.
Well, Malik, I cannot thank you enough. This has been enjoyable. Great talking to you, catching up. I am so, so excited to see you continue to grow as a young man. And you know that's from my heart because, you know, as I said earlier, you're one of those guys that I feel blessed. I had a chance that our paths crossed over the years. And it's been fun watching you develop, not so much as a football player, but as a person. And I wish you nothing but continued success. Make sure you tell your family I said hello, and I look forward to seeing you on CBS.
Man, thanks so much, man. It's been a great journey with you. You know, whoever thought we would get this far, and it's been continued success for the both of us. So, you know, we're going to keep rocking, and thanks for letting me be your first guest, man. This is pretty cool.
Malik Zaire, everyone. We want to thank Malik for taking the time out of his busy day. as he's getting ready for football season. And stay tuned for more on the Dave Burke Podcast. If you couldn't tell from our interview with Malik Zaire how big of a fan I am of that young man, I have had a chance to know him since he was a sophomore at Kettering Alder High School and watch him develop not just as a football player, but also as a person. It has just been a joy, and we've stayed in contact over the years, and I hope he has great success going forward with CBS or anywhere he does as far as the game of football and television, radio, whatever it may be. Now, our next guest, I wanted to make sure we kind of look at football in all sorts of different directions, not just the big name schools when we talk about the Ohio States, Michigans, Michigan States, Notre Dame's, and Cincinnati's, and so forth, but football at the Division II, Division III, and NAIA level as well. Brian Foose is a head coach at Madonna University, a university you may not have heard of, but they're going to be playing football here, not this season, but the following year. And they're building a program from scratch, and he's looking for players. And he's already made some coaching hires that I thought were great hires that are going to be, you know, building blocks for this program. And when I talk to parents and young men about, you know, playing the game of football at the college level, often overlook is what the goal is. The goal should not be just about playing at a big school. It should be about trading the game of football for educational dollars. And that's what NAIA football has been great at doing. And the Madonna University should be unique because you've got a coach they hired in Brian Foose who has an Ohio background, who's going to be in the state of Michigan, which continues to grow as a quality football state as far as prospects. And it's going to be interesting to see how that program comes together. So we hope you enjoy our interview with Brian Foose, the head coach of Madonna University, right after this.
Here at First Start, we recognize that our employees and their commitment are what drive our success. Our management and training team really invests in our employees. We give each person the tools and support they need, provide them access to an unsaturated customer base, and help them achieve the successful career they envision. At First Start, we take care of our employees. With double the commission rates of our competitors and a flexible career path, we hope you'll come be a part of it. Opportunity
knocking. You're back listening to the Dave Burke Podcast, joined by another guest. I'm very excited to talk to Brian Foose, the new head coach at Madonna University up in Michigan. I've known Coach Foose for several years, watched him work his magic with Coach Chris Oliver at a couple different programs. And Coach, let's get right to it. You are the new head coach at a university that is has no football players on a roster right now because you're not ready to play football for another year.
That's correct. First of all, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we're just getting started with this process, and you know, it's one of those that it is a process, and it takes some time. You know, I tell all those guys that did come on visits so far and will be coming on visits, this is a different visit than anywhere else because we're just at the start of this thing. So it's just a very different visit, very different type of process that we've got here. So
Madonna University, for those who don't know, is in Livonia, Michigan. You know, Brian, you are an Ohio native. You come from Tiffin, Ohio. Let's talk a little bit about your background before you got into coaching and your passion for the game of football.
Yeah, it really started, you know, with my high school coach, Steve Gilbert. I graduated from Tiffin Columbian High School. You know, he really had a great experience for me in high school, and it was a no-brainer for me that I was going to go play college football. I ended up playing at Otterbein University. Had a great experience there, great career. Fell short in the win column a little bit, but, you know, we had some good times. And then from there, I spent one season at Ohio Wesleyan, and then on to Ohio Dominican, which was a startup program, and spent five seasons there, and then went down to Kentucky at Lindsey Wilson College with, like you mentioned, Coach Oliver. You know, one of my big mentors, and Dale Carlson at Ohio Dominican. Those two guys were ones that really mentored me, and you know, two startup programs. So hopefully I can have as much success as we did at those two places.
Your previous stop before going to Madonna You come from Baldwin Wallace. These are football programs, and you talked about Lindsey Wilson, Ohio Dominican, as being startups. They were startups, but they were successful very quickly. Let's talk about your game plan at Madonna, and because right now you need players, and you don't need a handful of players. You're looking for quite a few. You're ready to give opportunities to a lot of players over the next year.
Yeah. I think it's important to say, too, this is a scholarship-level program. And, we are able to hand out football scholarships and award for on-the-field performance. Obviously, we're looking for players that can get it done on the field and are very talented and earn those scholarships. We're also looking for young men that are going to do things the right way. And anytime you start something new, there's going to be some people that aren't quite sure if this is the right thing to do. And, that's why it's so important for when you have a first-year program, you've got to have the right people in the program as well. So we need guys that are going to, take education seriously because we're going to demand that and are also going to, take the Livonia community and the Madonna community and the Detroit community, and be – very welcoming to them, and they'll be welcoming to the players we have coming in. So it takes a lot of people to start a program, from the president all the way down to, everybody that's on campus. So having everybody on board is very important.
The first thing that I noticed here recently, you're not playing around. You've made a couple hires already for your coaching staff, and I feel you hit it out of the ballpark. Talk about the couple assistant coaches you've brought on board already.
I got to bring people in to make me look good, right? my first hire, which started just about a couple weeks after me, was a guy named Matt Wright. He'll be our offensive coordinator. I coached with Matt for 4 seasons at Lindsey Wilson. And from there, when I went on to Baldwin Wallace, he went to Austin Peay for 2 seasons, and we were able to hook back up. So it's nice to have that guy that, and is kind of your right-hand man. The next guy that I was able to hire and, wasn't really from a, position standpoint, maybe wasn't a fit, but I wanted to hire the right person. And, Coach Herb Haygood is an outstanding person and an extremely smart, football mind. He's going to be our defensive coordinator, pulling him over from Eastern Michigan. And obviously, having those Michigan ties with being at Michigan State, and also has, some great Florida ties because he's originally from Sarasota. So very excited about him and happy that we were able to pull him over. And then our most recent hire is a guy named Jonathan Black. He's coming from Waldorf, where he spent 3 seasons at, and he's going to coach our defensive line and do a lot of our weight room stuff, but he's done an outstanding job to start with. So very, very happy with all 3 of those coaches.
We had a chance, we've known each other, being totally honest, we've known each other for quite a while, and we had a chance to speak right after you got the job. And let's talk about the process, when you agree to take a job that's a startup, the things that have to go on behind the scenes, and where you're at as far as facilities and so forth.
Yeah, so, it's funny. You've got football coaches that are taking over a program that's already established. Well, they've got washers and dryers. They've got footballs. They've got, computers at their desk, anything. So, yeah, you and I talked, I think it was probably about a few weeks after I took the job, and there wasn't a football on campus. There wasn't, any talk of washers and dryers. So I'm getting quotes for washers and dryers and flooring and, weight room equipment and you name it. So we're in the process of, kind of going through those facilities and, getting some things rolling with those. So there's a plan in place, and, we got to execute that plan. But it's going well so far, and our guys are going to be ready to get after it as soon as they get here coming in the next few weeks.
You talked about the mentorship you received. When you were looking at taking this job, what did you learn from your previous experiences, plus those people who mentored you, as far as the ups and downs of starting a program from scratch?
I think the biggest thing is it's not going to happen overnight. You know, there's going to be some setbacks. There's going to be some things that you get that you weren't expecting to get, and there's going to be some things that you were expecting to get that maybe you need to hold off on for a minute. And you just got to kind of take it all in stride. You know, we've got an administration in place that, you know, has told me all along we're going to do this the right way, and that's good to know. If you don't have an administration that can do that, then, you know, you might be in trouble. So I'm very fortunate with, you know, who we've got here. I'm very fortunate with our location and, you know, obviously our coaching staff that, you know, we've got here. I'm very excited about it. But, you know, just taking things in stride, and you know, you can't let one minor setback drop you for a few days. You know, you got to keep going.
You talked about the fact that you're going to be a scholarship program. And, you know, when I talk to kids and parents about recruiting, I stress to them, I always say NAIA football is hidden money, because it's not thought about. When people think about football recruiting, you know, it's easy to think about the Michigans, Michigan States, Ohio States, and so forth. They forget about how many schools are out there in NAIA Division II that, you know, have money to give and are really looking for quality players, as you said, quality individuals to give that money to. And maybe talk a little bit more about NAIA football, what, you know, players can expect from that level, and the process of becoming a player at the NAIA level.
It's very similar to that Division II process, like you had mentioned, NAIA Division II. You know, it's a partial scholarship system. And, you know, just like, you know, any scholarship level program, you're going to have those schools that support it and schools that don't. And, you know, hopefully you're at a school that does, and I am. So I'm very, very happy with that. But, you know, really it comes down to you got to take care of your business first as a student athlete, and emphasis on student there. Because like any college, you know, part of making that affordable is getting things done in the classroom. That doesn't change for anybody. So if you don't have the grades, you don't have the test score, you're still not going to have an opportunity. But you get it done in the classroom, take the test as many times as you can. You know, over the years, that's the one thing that, you know, makes me pull my hair out the most is students taking the test one time. And, you know, that's why I'm always coming to you for potential recruits, is because, you know, you're sending that message to them as well. You're talking to those people as well about, hey, take the test, get your grades right, check out these places. But it's just another avenue for players to, you know, showcase their talents. And look, you know, the NFL isn't going to be for everybody, but if you showcase your talents, they're going to find you if you have that ability. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, even the places I've been, we've had NFL scouts at every place that I've been to on the practice field. And, you know, that's exciting. And they're going to find you if you've got those abilities.
We're talking to Brian Foose, the head coach of Madonna University, still a year away from playing their first games. And coach, I want to close by allowing you to tell parents and possible players how they can go about getting more information about Madonna University and get into that recruiting list that you're trying to build going forward.
Yeah, appreciate it. So our website, madonna.edu, and then just go to our athletics page. Obviously, there's questionnaire information there. You know, so that would be the big thing to, you know, get on our communication list and make sure that you're there's a place to upload your video. And, you know, probably one of the most important things is, you know, we've only got four of us on staff right now. We do have scholarship money to give out. Reach out to us. Have us watch your video. Include a junior highlight film. That way we can go ahead and get you evaluated, get you on the prospect list, and be able to keep that communication going for you. So that's the biggest thing, is just, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can earn a scholarship at Madonna, and, you know, just make sure that you're getting things done in the classroom, getting things done on the field, and, you know, this may be the best fit for you. Obviously, our location just outside of Detroit is outstanding for internships and job opportunities afterwards. It's an easy drive, just being right off 75. And, you know, talk about a full college experience and full life experience. You know, living in a major metropolitan area, that's a pretty nice college place to go to. So I'm excited about this area.
Head coach Brian Foose, Madonna University. Coach, appreciate the time. We wish you all the best. We look forward to talking to you more as you build this program. And we get excited to see these programs, more opportunities for young men to trade the game of football for a quality college education.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on and everything you do for those looking to be recruited.
Brian Foose, Madonna University. Stay tuned for more on the Dave Burke Podcast. You've just listened to the very first episode of the Dave Burke Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, thank you to Malik Zaire and Brian Foose for being part of it. Going forward, you can be part of this podcast by leaving us a voice message. The easiest way to do that is look for the button where it says send voice message. It will allow you to record either from your computer or from your cell phone a short, usually about 1 minute long, voice message to us. Give us your thoughts. Have something to say? Say it. If we like it, we may even put it in a future podcast. Also, if you want to help support the podcast, you can do that by a couple things. One, there's a button that says support this podcast. If you click on that, you can set it up to where you can leave a monthly donation to support the podcast. So it's out there if you have interest in doing that. So, but we hope you liked it. Be sure to tune in to First Star Football Report for more. And I also want to thank First Star Logistics for all their support. Until next time, this is Dave Burke. Let's have fun watching football in 2019.